The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I want to talk to you today about the voice of thankfulness. And I take this from Psalms chapter 26, verse 6 and 7. I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. So what is the voice of thanksgiving? When should we have the voice of thanksgiving? What kind of conditions should we be in when we have a voice of thanksgiving? David was one that understood what it meant to be thankful. He went through a lot of different things in his life, and it seems that he understood always being thankful to God. But sometimes when we go through difficulties, it's not easy to be thankful. You know, we recognize that the Scripture tells us that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are thee called according to His purpose. But when you're going through some kind of difficulty, it's hard to see that. It's hard to recognize that even in those times, we need to be thankful. So being thankful is extremely important. And being a thankful person is, particularly as a believer in Jesus Christ, it's very, very important that we project wherever we go, an attitude of thankfulness. Have you ever been around people, unthankful people? They're miserable, aren't they? They're miserable. Their life is seems to be falling apart, and they don't mind telling you about all their woes and sorrows. They're just unthankful for the good things that really happened, that they have in their life. This past week, David Adams and I had to go to Nelsonville and work on a rental property that we have up there, Tammy and I have, and we had some work we had to do on the sewer, had to dig up the road, and what a crazy story that is, that I'm responsible for Nelsonville's sewer line in the middle of the road. But anyhow, the people who live, the guy that lives on the right side of the house is a real nice guy, and he helps us out and talks to us real friendly. But the people on the other side are miserable people. They're so miserable that they have David convinced that nobody in Nelsonville is a nice person. They, you know, they complained about my sewer line, rightfully so. It needed to be fixed. But also, when we got there, they complained because they had to move their vehicles so I could work on the sewer line. And when they come out of the house, you can tell, just looking at their face, every one of them, they're miserable. I really feel sorry for them because they have a miserable existence. I don't know how many people live in this house. There's several, along with three or four dogs and about 12 cats. That's probably enough to make you miserable. But the attitude is an attitude of just not being thankful and grateful for much of anything. So I want to say to you, we need definitely to be thankful. And we want to recognize that we cultivate this attitude of thankfulness. Dr. Robert Jeffries said this: I found that it is a lot easier to act yourself into a feeling than it is to feel yourself into an action. Do you hear what I'm saying? Isn't that good? You're going to act yourself into a feeling. It's not about your emotions. It's about an attitude that you have that says, I'm going to be thankful regardless of how I feel. And when you take that kind of an approach to things, then eventually the feeling can come along afterwards. But you have to take authority and control over your attitude. And your attitude has to be one of thankfulness. Always being thankful. There was an old farmer who had to go into town, into the city to do some business. And while he was there, he went to a restaurant to have breakfast. And he sat down to have his meal, and he was a believer. And he sat down, and he bowed his head before he had his meal. And there was a group of young guys there, and they thought they were going to have some fun with this old farmer. And after he was done praying, that one of the young guys said loud enough for everybody in the restaurant to hear, "Does everybody where you come from do that?" And the people in the restaurant, of course, they were just appalled that this young guy would be so disrespectful to this old farmer. And the old farmer didn't seem to faze him at all. He looked up, looked directly at that young man, and he says, "No, sir, the pigs don't." Pigs don't. They're not thankful. But you know what? You think about it. I think the animals that we have, they're thankful that we feed them every day. We just recently had a stray cat come to our house. It was actually brought to our house, I guess. And it was a little kitten, pretty little thing. And right from the beginning, it just wanted some attention. And my wife will tell you, I've never been much of a cat lover, but you better not touch that cat. That's my kitty. I love that baby. And you know, I can tell she's thankful. She curls up, and about every morning she'll curl up in my lap and just let me pet her. She purrs and rolls over in my lap and wants me to rub her belly. She has an attitude of thankfulness, and she never says a word, but I know she's thankful. And that's the way we need to be. People need to see that coming from us. It exudes from our very being that we're thankful, regardless of whether we say anything or not. We're thankful for this life that our Heavenly Father has given us. We're thankful for our family. We're thankful. And it's good to express that, and we need to express it. But praise God, we don't always have to express it verbally. We express it with our lifestyle. So what I want to look at this morning is, when should we have the voice of thanksgiving? When should we express our thanks? Psalms 100 verse 4 says this: "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So how do we enter into the presence of God? This is our point. When we enter into his presence, we need to have the voice of thanksgiving. In your time of prayer, you enter into the presence of God. Enter in with thanksgiving. Be thankful. Let him know that you are thankful. Have the right attitudes. Express it with your voice. Praise him and thank him for the good things that he's doing in your life, for your family, for your church, for the country you live in, the freedoms that you have. You know, a gate is a place of entrance. And that's what this is talking about, when you enter in. It's a gate of entrance. And, you know, in the Old Testament, we don't know exactly how many gates were in Jerusalem. There was a lot of them. But we do have an idea about how many gates there were in the old city during the time of Christ. And it appears that there was probably about 8 gates that entered into the city. One of those gates, the gate of Zion, was the gate that the IDF entered in when they took the city during the Six-Day War, 1967. The other gate of significance is the Golden Gate, or the Beautiful Gate. That beautiful gate is a gate, it's on the eastern side, and when you come in that into Jerusalem, you're entering right into the Temple Mount. The beautiful gate, however, it's not open these days. The reason that the beautiful gate is not open is because when the Muslims had control of Jerusalem, they knew that the prophecy said that the Messiah was, the Jewish Messiah was going to enter in through that gate. So they filled it with concrete. It has several feet of concrete that seals up that beautiful gate. They also, because they know that a high priest of the Jewish people cannot walk any place where the dead are, they bury their dead. They buried their dead in that area. So they're trying, with all their effort, they were trying to keep the Jewish Messiah from showing up. Well, I've got news for them. I got news for the Jews as well, because the Jews are expecting their Messiah to come one day and bust that concrete up and walk through that gate. But the Messiah has already come. The Messiah entered in through that gate on the week before Passover. He came and he got on a foal of a donkey and he entered in that gate. That's the gate we believe that he entered in. He entered in that gate and he was praised and glorified as the Messiah, as the Most High God. Here's the interesting thing about it. Prophecy in Ezekiel 600 BC said that that gate, after the Lord God entered into that gate, which was Jesus, that gate would be sealed. Check it out. Ezekiel, let me give you that scripture. Ezekiel 44:2. Says that the Lord God's going to enter that gate and then the gate would be sealed. The prophet, God's prophetic utterance came forth and has been fulfilled. We don't need the Messiah to come back and enter that gate. The Messiah has already entered in. Amen. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Hallelujah. When we enter into the gates of the Lord God, when we come before him, we enter in with thanksgiving and then we come into his courts, into his presence with praise. That's why our praise here on Sunday mornings is so important. We praise the Lord because we're entering into the court or the presence of Almighty God. Those are times. These are the times. When you come in here on Sunday mornings, be thankful. Be thankful for the people around you. Be thankful for your family. Be thankful for the good things that God is doing. Thank him openly and praise him, for he is worthy. He's not only worthy, he deserves all and every praise that we can give him. Not just for the good things that he does, because of who he is. So we open the gates to his presence with thanksgiving. And praise God, we're thankful for the blood, because that's what opens the gates to us and causes us to enter in his courts or his presence. The second thing is this morning is when he provides good things. How many believe that God provides good things for you? Hallelujah. I don't see one person that not willing to raise their hand this morning. God provides all kinds of good things for us. What an awesome God he is. He will always meet our needs according to his riches in glory, Christ Jesus. Psalms 107 verse 8 says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Praise God that he is so good to us, that he is awesome. You know, we're entering into this time of thanksgiving and we have a rich heritage of thanksgiving in this country. Of course, we track it all the way back to some of the first settlers, the pilgrims who came to this country. And they were willing to go through some pretty difficult, adverse situations when they first came to the shores of the United States, just America at that time. And they went through some very difficult things. But what is so significant about that is that they were very devout believers in Jesus Christ. And being devout believers, they always believed in being thankful to Almighty God. Now, how many of you know that our children are not being taught anything about pilgrims these days in schools? That's why I'm laying it on you as parents. Make sure you talk to your children about the heritage of what Thanksgiving is all about. We have to do that because they're not learning anything at all in our public schools. It's our responsibility to tell them where this holiday came from. Do you know if they do teach anything, they're teaching them that the pilgrims were thankful to the Indians or the Native Americans rather than to Almighty God. And they were thankful for the support and the help that they had. But the purpose was Almighty God. And there's plenty of documentation of that. Let me read something to you that I took out of a book by Peter Marshall. It's called The Light and the Glory, and it gives all kinds of history about a Christian heritage in the United States. It says this: if you have any doubt about what the pilgrims were doing on that day. Now, you got to bear with me because it's King James English. Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest abound with game and sea and with fish and clams, and as much as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now, I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all you pilgrims, with your wives, your little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November the 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623. In the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings. William Bradford, Governor of Plymouth Colony. The reality is they were thankful to Almighty God for protecting and keeping them and providing for them. What are we thankful for? We all gather around Thanksgiving. Do we really recognize who has provided every good thing for us? All good things come down from the Father of lights. We need to make sure that not only this time of year, but always, we recognize that God is providing these good things for us. Praise Him. Give Him thanks. So why do we want to have a voice of thanksgiving or when God provides good things for us? When we enter into His presence. The third thing, let me give you a quote here, though, that I think is really good. God is always trying to give good things to us, but our hands are too full to receive them. Isn't it true? Wow. Sometimes we just need to get rid of some stuff so we can really get the good things of God. He's told us, seek His kingdom first and He'll take care of everything else that we have need of. Seek His kingdom. His kingdom. Above our career, above recreation, above football, basketball, above all those things that we enjoy. You know, I'm going to go home this afternoon, lay on the couch and watch football until I drift off into oblivion. But... Thanks. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. When should we have the voice of thanksgiving? For His mercy. His mercy. Psalms 107, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. He has great and awesome mercy, and it endures forever. His mercy is so great that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die in our place. His mercy is so great that he calls us out of darkness into his glorious light. His mercy is awesome. His mercy is so great that the scripture tells us he will chase you down to keep you from going to hell and overtake you. His mercy is awesome. Because of his great mercy toward us, God is always working. He's trying to get our attention. Sometimes we're paying no attention, but he's trying to get our attention. Here's that quote that I misquoted the other day by Lafayette Scales. He said this, God will never violate your will, but he knows how to make you willing. Amen. Is that right? He knows how to make you willing. And sometimes we have to go through some miserable things to be willing. But he does this for our own good. He wants you to be willing to seek after him. He wants to be number one in your life above everything else. Mike Holmgren was a professional football player. He became a coach and then in management. But when he was a quarterback, he became the backup quarterback for Joe Namath. And then one day, the Jets came to him and said, we don't need you any longer, and they cut him. He said it was one of the most devastating things he had ever gone through because his whole life had been football. And now he had nothing, nowhere to go, nowhere to play. No one wanted him. He had received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior when he was 11 years old, but he said, I put Jesus aside. Said, that was a defining moment in my life. I turned back to the God that I knew loved me and could keep me and support me through such a difficult time. He said it changed the whole direction of his life. He began to realize that the most important thing in his life was not football, but was his faith in Jesus Christ. He said from that time forward, now listen to his order of things because it is the right order. No matter what career you're in, faith in Jesus, family, and career, football for him. He said, I began to get my priorities in order, and from that very moment forward, God began to work in my life in an incredible way. He went on to be the head coach for the Green Bay Packers, and they won a Super Bowl. He coached the Supersonics, the Seattle football team, Seahawks. I got basketball and football mixed up there. He went on after that to be the president of the Cleveland Browns. Poor guy. Felt sorry for him there. Some of you Browns fans, you're going to get me after this, aren't you? But his defining moment in his life was probably one of the most miserable moments in his life. And yet, what Lafayette said, God knew how to make him willing. Changed his outcome, changed his direction. It helped him to see the most important thing was not football. The most important thing is Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things are going to be added to you. That's God's promise to us. He has made this promise and he keeps that promise. If you will seek him, all these other things will fall into order for you. I promise you that is the case. It may shake up. Now listen, I'm not telling you that everything's going to be always smooth and wonderful in your life. You're going to have some difficult times. But if you get your priorities in order, even those bumpy times will be handled by the Lord. He just seems to be able to smooth them out for us. Because that's the kind of God we serve. All right. So we have the voice of thanksgiving when we enter into his presence, when he provides good things, for his mercy. because his mercy is oh so good to us. The third thing, or the fourth thing, and the last point that I want to make is that we should have a voice of thanksgiving all the time. It doesn't matter what circumstance we're in. We should have a voice of thanksgiving. This is what the scripture said, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks. That means when you're going through that really difficult valley that you're going through, don't give him thanks for it, but in it, because you're in it, you can still praise the Lord. He is with you. You're going through. Now, this is the great thing. We're just going through these things. Hallelujah. We're going through and we're coming out on the other side. That's why we can be thankful. God is going to take us through. The voice of thanksgiving should be proclaimed no matter what's happening in our life. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Glorify his name. And you do it because you know that it's going to change the atmosphere and your attitude. In Acts chapter 16, story often used in regards to giving praise and thanks to God, Paul and Silas have been thrown into prison in Philippi. And the Philippian jailer has them bound, because he's been given charge over them, and he knows if something happens, if they get out, he's going to be held responsible, which means they're going to take his life. So he puts them in the inner prison. He locks them down. And Paul and Silas, after having been beaten, after having been ridiculed, after having been commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus, begin to praise and glorify God in the middle of the night. They sing hymns, and they praise his holy name. They count their blessings. How many had that old hymn, count your many blessings, name them one by one? I mean, that was one we used to sing. I remember that as a kid. Count your blessings. And they were counting their blessings in the midst of misery. I can guarantee you the kind of prison they were in, not only the prison, but they were locked down in the inner prison, the worst part. Not a nice place to be. And all the prisoners heard them glorifying and praising God. And what happened? The kingdom of God shook that place. There was a great earthquake. The shackles fell off from them. They could have run. They could have taken off. But they chose to stay. And when the jailer decided that he was going to take his life, Paul cried out, "Don't do that, we're all here." And the jailer, here's the significant thing about this. The unbeliever, when you praise God through the difficult times, the unbeliever will take notice of that. They will see it and they will recognize. They may ridicule you all the other time, but when you go through the difficult times and you glorify the name of Jesus, give thanks, they take notice. And the jailer cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" That's what we want. If my difficulties and being thankful in the difficulties that I go through will bring somebody to the kingdom of God, hallelujah. It's worth every moment of it. Praise God. So we praise God in all things, everything. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Even though we go through these difficult things, he makes sure that he carries our burden for us. I'm going to ask everyone to stand with me. Short message this morning. I want you all to be ready to come back this evening so we can. Yes.
We want to sing "Give Thanks."
Okay. Yeah, that'd be great. We're going to sing a song. As they're preparing to sing the song, I do want to tell this last story. I read this, and I thought it was so good. And it's a true story about a group of college students. They were believers, and they were living in an apartment together, and an elderly man would come to their house, and he would come, and he had vegetables that he sold, but he had glassy eyes and, you know, the 3 or 4 day old beard and ragged clothes. And they all thought, when they first met him, they thought he was a wino. They bought some vegetables from him, and next day he came back. He had more vegetables. And as they got to know him, they found out that he also was a believer, and he loved the Lord, and he would come in and sit down with them and play the harmonica, and they'd sing songs and sing hymns together and just enjoy one another's company. One day he came in, and he was so excited. He said, I came out of my house, and there was a bag of clothes out there. Shoes and clothes, and you got to understand this old guy's, his shoes were ragged, his pants, his clothing were kind of ragged, but he didn't care. He thanked God, and he said a brand new bag of clothes out there, and he was just so excited, and the students didn't want him to know that they were the ones that put him there. So they just kept quiet, and they acted like they were excited with him. And he said, you know what? The most exciting thing is I met some people yesterday that could really use those clothes. Wow. What a great attitude. He was satisfied, and he wanted others' needs to be met. I hope we can be that thankful in our life. Amen. We're going to sing this song as we wrap up this morning.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.